Sefer Shmuel is the third Sefer in Nevi'im, which began with Yehoshua and Shoftim, and then Sefer Shmuel. Although we know it as Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, that was a matter of convenience due to the invention of the printing press in the 1400s, where it was divided into two, but it is considered one Sefer, Sefer Shmuel, altogether. Overall, entirely, it covers a period of 93 years, from the birth of Shmuel HaNavi, which coincides with the beginning of Eliyahu Kohen, and Shmuel HaNavi, who is going to be the last of the Shoftim, and then goes through the lives of Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech, almost until the end of David HaMelech's life. So a lengthy time period is covered by this Sefer, going from Jewish date-wise 2832 until 2925, when David HaMelech passed away, as we said, 93 years. Now, according to tradition, Sefer Shmuel was written by Shmuel HaNavi himself up until his death, which happens in Perek Chaf Ches of Shmuel Aleph, and then the remainder was written by Gad HaNavi and Nasan HaNavi, who are both Nevi'im mentioned in the context of the reign of David HaMelech. And so all of Shmuel Beis and the last chunk of Shmuel Aleph were written by them after the death of Shmuel, which leads to the question that many of the Chazal speak about: why is it called Sefer Shmuel if Shmuel himself wrote fewer than half of all of the Prakim? Not only that, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel until his death would seem to belong in Sefer Shoftim, since Shmuel is the last of the judges. And the remainder of Sefer Shmuel, about the Malchus Shaul and the Malchus David, could have been put into Malachim as well. So why Sefer Shmuel? And so it's answered that Shmuel HaNavi is the motivating factor, is the driving engine of everything that occurs. Shmuel HaNavi's life and his actions and his prophecies were the guiding forces behind everything that took place, including the Malchus Shaul, whom he anointed as king, and the Malchus David, whom he anointed as king. Not only that, but the beginning of the Sefer, which talks about Shmuel's relationship as a mentee, as a student of Eliyahu Kohen, and David's relationship as a student, as a subordinate to Shaul HaMelech, are very similar. And so it's telling somewhat of the same story, the transference of power and sovereignty and governance to the next leader of the generation. Shmuel HaNavi, put in short, is the link between Shoftim and Malachim, between the era of the judges and the era of the kings. And it's he himself who is that transition. So it is a tremendous Sefer, a Sefer where his Nevuos form the core of the entire future of Klal Yisrael at a time, the Me'am Loe says, when prophecy was kind of scarce, as opposed to later eras when there were yeshivas for Nevi'im and there were thousands of Nevi'im whose prophecies weren't recorded or canonized. Shmuel HaNavi is something very special. Now, a word about timing. So the exodus from Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was in the year, Jewish year, 2448 after creation. 40 years later, in 2488, Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Kena'an and began to take hold of the land, and the era of the Shoftim is going to begin. In the year 2516, depending upon how you count it, after the 14 years of division and conquest, and then several more years before Yehoshua's death, the first of the Shoftim takes place, Asniel ben Kenaz. And in 2832, which is the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the era of the Shoftim comes to a close as Eliyahu Kohen takes over as a Shofate. And then after him, 40 years later, Shmuel HaNavi will take over. So this is a time period approximately 350 years after the Shoftim begin, And then the period of the Shoftim ended at the end of Sefer Shoftim, although Eli and Shmuel are kind of holdovers. Now, Eli HaKohen dies at an advanced age, but he becomes Kohen Gadol later on in his life, and he becomes a Shofate later on in his life. He becomes a Shofate right before the baby, the infant, Shmuel, is brought to him to care for. Up until the age of 40, Shmuel would remain at the Mishkan with Eli. Then, towards the end of his life, in the 2880s, first Shaul HaMelech would be anointed by Shmuel and then David HaMelech. So it's a short lifetime. Shmuel lives only until the age of 52, but it's a lifetime of tremendous change for Klal Yisrael and for the future of Klal Yisrael, because of course Malchus Beis David eventually is going to lead us to the Mashiach. So we have a little bit of Sefer context in where Sefer Shmuel fits in, a little bit of historical context in where Shmuel fits in. Also, one last thing, we took a detour to talk about Sefer Rus. Boaz, Ivtson, was approximately the year 2790. So this is a mere 80 years or so, less if you start from the beginning of the Sefer, after Boaz and Rus met and conceived David HaMelech's great-great-grandfather. So there are key moments in history. And this 75-80-year period from Boaz and Rus on through Shmuel, and then the next 40 years are going to be a time of tremendous beginnings for Klal Yisrael. So much so that a Bas Kol is said to have come out, according to the Medrash, before Shmuel's birth, saying that a great tzaddik and Navi by the name of Shmuel is about to be born. Shmuel HaNavi's Nebuah was startlingly clear. Shmuel himself was a man of iron, a very, very, very tough man, a man who lived through a lot and a lot of pain, as well as physical privation, a man who was medaktik with every aspect of his life. As we'll see before his death, he asks the Jewish people massed together, whose donkey have I taken? Whose property have I borrowed or taken without returning or repaying? I will pay them right now. And Klal Yisrael says, you have done nothing wrong. You have done everything perfectly. Shmuel HaNavi is from the family of Korach, as we'll see in the early psukim of the Perek. It's fascinating that Korach, who was the rebel who tried to split Klal Yisrael and seize power for himself, had very righteous sons who were saved literally from the mouth of the pit, Uvnei Korach Lo Mesu. And from those sons eventually came Elkanah, Shmuel's father, and then Shmuel HaNavi himself. Those who are into Gilgul things say that Shmuel himself was a Gilgul of Korach and was misaken what he had done. Korach claimed that Moshe and Aaron had claimed the leadership for themselves, but Shmuel came along and said HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Moshe and Aaron to do his will. And not only that, but as we'll mention several times in Kabbalah Shabbos, we say a Kapitel Tehillim where we point out that Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel are a unit. The first Navi since Moshe Rabbeinu to be on that kind of incredibly high level is going to be Shmuel HaNavi. So he has a distinguished lineage, a lineage that his forefather Korach tried to use against Moshe Rabbeinu, but instead that Shmuel is going to use L'Shem Shamayim, following, as we will see in a few psukim, in his father's footsteps. He is a man of tremendous deeds and tremendous prophecies, seeing the entire future of Klal Yisrael unfolding, along with Malchus Beis David, a prophet who did so much for Klal Yisrael and never kept anything for himself, a prophet who would lead Klal Yisrael from the era of 12 separate tribes with their own individualistic ideas and priorities into a time of Malchus, which would unite Klal Yisrael permanently into one single unit. He begins at the end of Sefer Shoftim after the time period of Pilegesh Begiva that highlights the separatism within Klal Yisrael. The end of Sefer Shmuel with Malchus Beis David finally intact and together after years of rebellions and fractiousness shows the incredible unity of Klal Yisrael behind the sweet singer of Israel as David HaMelech is going to be. So when we get to Shmuel Beis, we will take a whole lot of time with the life and the events surrounding the Malchus Beis David. But before that, we have quite a ways to go. And so we will see the beginnings of Shmuel HaNavi, his ascendancy to greatness, and how eventually Shaul HaMelech becomes chosen as the first king of Klal Yisrael. On to Sefer Shmuel.